On this episode of the Autumn Windbags, we look at what Tom Brady had to say about the Josh McDaniels hire. Did Las Vegas blow it with Jim Harbaugh? And what does a Derek Carr extension look like? And we love when you subscribe, rate, and comment on whatever platform you're listening on. All right, here we go.
Came by the gym today selling Girl Scout cookies. They fucking caught me.
How many tagalongs did you buy? How many boxes?
I fucking bought 4 boxes.
Yeah.
Got ripped me for 4. I had a 20 in my fucking wallet and fucking $5 a piece. Like, what the fuck are you gonna do?
I got a dream of winning a Super Bowl. I got a dream of being in a Pro Bowl. I'm really not into dreams anymore, okay? I'm into nightmares. The
Raiders! Caught! Touchdown! Raiders!
You're listening to the Autumn Windbags, an audio attack from the Silver and Black. Here are your windbags, RJ Clifford and Juan Soto.
Yeah, it is another episode of the Autumn Windbags. RJ Clifford, Juan Soto, let's have some fun today. It's really real.
Really, really real.
It's really, really real. It's a new era. It's a new age.
The McZiggy era.
That's what we're going to say. We got to come with a name for the Josh McDaniels, Dave McZiggler era.
His name is Dave Ziggler.
Dave Ziggler. Well, you got me. We went with my McZiggy era. Because there was a thing where like people are like, oh, it's Patriots West. I'm like, I like McZiggy. McZiggy era.
I like McZiggy.
I also think it's going to depend like how successful they are on what's going to, on what the name becomes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like Patriots West, if they suck, it's going to be like Patriots Less or something like that. Yeah. You know? Or if they're better, we play the Pats next.
We do.
We play the Pats next season.
Yes, we do.
So if we beat them, we're gonna be Patriots Best instead of Patriots West. A lot of options.
I don't want to use Patriots at all. Thank you very much.
I know. I think that's just kind of like a working title, right? Patriot stuff, just because it doesn't work for me. And there's more coming too, right? Like they've already picked up more guys from the Patriots that are coming over. So it's like.
They picked up an assistant GM from the Bears.
Yep. What's his name? Khalil Mack was pushing for him to get the GM job in Chicago.
Yeah.
Maybe that means Khalil Mack will want to come to Vegas again. I don't know. Maybe reunite.
I said it.
Best friends back together. I don't know.
I said it before, man. I said it in another show. In business, A's hire A's and B's hire C's because they're just insecure and they'll hire people that aren't as smart as they are. And A's, they don't care. They'll hire people that are really smart and put them in the right position. And that's how you build their front office just got a lot better and a lot smarter very quickly. So I mean, they're smarter already. We'll see how if it translates. No.
Is it functional?
Yeah.
Well, one guy loves the hire. Tom Brady. Tuck Rule Tommy. Obviously, he retired recently. And Josh McDaniels was his offensive coordinator for a big chunk of his career. For, what, half a dozen Super Bowls? Mm-hmm. Bunch of records that he broke. It was Josh McDaniels as the mastermind behind his career. And Tom Brady talked about Josh McDaniels getting hired by the Raiders as the head coach on his podcast on SiriusXM called Let's Go. And this is what he had to say.
Well, I'm really excited for Josh. You know, he's a tremendous coach. I was very fortunate to be around him for as long as I did. And anytime someone gets that opportunity, it's tremendous for them and their family. And to be the leader of an organization is a great feeling. And he certainly deserves to be that. Works extremely hard, is so smart, prepared, understand really what it takes to put together a winning culture. And he's been around that for a long time. And obviously I wish him nothing but the most success. And it's an exciting time for a lot of these franchises that are getting new coaches. There's a lot of hope. And it's, you know, you go from the end of the season, which is lots of disappointment, to shortly after, you know, finding some coaches to lead you into a different place. So for a lot of organization, that's very, very exciting.
So he seems pumped on it, likes it. It seems, though, to me, very kind of generic commentary from Tom Brady about it. He doesn't, you know, he mentioned, you know, all the good things about him, but, you know, just kind of generic things, works hard, been around success, like all kinds of things that we know. I think deep down, I don't think he likes it. I think he likes the fact that his friend and colleague got a promotion, right? Like, mm-hmm. he was getting $4 million as offensive coordinator in New England. You know he's getting more in Las Vegas, right? Now he's a head coach again, right? He has a chance to kind of wipe the slate clean after his absolute failure as the Denver Broncos head coach. Now he's like, okay, now it's a time to say, like, you know, that wasn't me. I wasn't ready then. Now I am. This is my new time, right? Like, mm-hmm. and you can say, like, I'm just like Belichick, right? Belichick failed at the Browns, and now he became the most successful coach in NFL history, arguably, right? So it's like, this is my – I think that's what Tom Brady is more – that's, like, what I got the most out of that 60 seconds of Tom Brady talking about his old coordinator is – I'm happy he got a promotion. Like, that was the biggest part of his mind. Like, the biggest part of the story to him was just like, yeah, he got a raise. He got a promotion. Less about, I think he's going to do X, Y, or Z.
I mean, I don't know where you're getting that from. He said specifically he's going to do well. He said specifically he's an excellent coach. He's prepared. He knows how to build a winning culture. Like, I don't understand where you're getting that he's being generic. Like, he said very specific things in that interview. I don't think, like, if you're looking for specific X's and O things, no, he didn't go into that specifics, but things that make that will give you a reason why he'll be in 60 seconds. He was specific why he would be, but I think it'll be different this time around.
I didn't get that at all.
I think because you're down on the hire. I think you're just.
I'm not down on the hire. I've said multiple times. I'm not as high as you are. Like, you're all about it. I'm like, well, I'm kind of like, all right, we know what we're getting, and we know what the risks are, right? Like, it could be the Patriot.
You're kind of down on it. You kind of don't like it. You kind of
I'm completely you're waiting for
him
vanilla.
To, you're waiting for him to fall on his face.
I want him to succeed. I'm not like you're waiting for him to fall on his face. I'm waiting for him to fall on his face, or I'm waiting for him to succeed. Like, I don't really, like, again, we know the history of the Belichick coaching tree, right? We know that this could be different because he's already been a head coach. Mm-hmm. We know we're getting an offensive genius. We know we're getting a guy that doesn't get not great with players. Like, for every good thing he's doing that we know he's good at, there's another thing we know that he's bad at, right? So it's a matter of, what are we going to get? It's like, it's all, what I'm worried about is they're going to try to go square peg round hole, right? Like, this is what I do as Josh McDaniels and Ziegler as well. Like, this is what I do. This is how I do it. And I'm going to do it this way, right? Now, he's very diverse and skilled as an offensive coordinator play caller, right? Like, he's very good about, you know, He was a coach for Cam Newton and a rookie and Tom Brady, and he still got something out of each one of them, more or less, right? Like, he's diverse in his skills, but I think as far as how he handles himself with a team, it's very, this is how I do it. And it's a matter of, is that going to jive in Las Vegas? Like, that to me is the biggest question.
In what respect?
Because he's not a player's coach, right? They're like the Raiders are going from a guy in Bisaccia, who they all loved, right? Just universally beloved Bisaccia. Before that, they also liked Gruden, but differently. Gruden was just like a raw football guy that you like bro down with, right? He was beloved, but in a different way, right? Mm-hmm. And now you're going to Josh McDaniels, who is all business. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's exactly what the Raiders need. Maybe the Raiders need a lot less coddling and love and handwritten notes, and they need to do your job, be on time, stop with the penalties, stop driving drunk, or else, right? That's, again, best case scenario, he comes in as a disciplinarian and with a stringent way to do things, Raiders fall in line and succeed. Another way that could possibly happen is he comes in with that same mentality and the Raiders are like, fuck you.
Here's the deal, man. These guys are all pros. They're all professionals, okay? Mm-hmm. As much as Josh McDaniels needs to come in and get the trust of these guys need to understand that Josh McDaniels is his own person and they can't compare him to Rich Bisaccia. Mm-hmm. They can't do that. They're two different people. And I heard Keyshawn Johnson tell a story of when Bill Parcells was in Dallas. He was in Dallas with Bill Parcells. Mm-hmm. And he was kind of joking around with Bill Parcells because he was with Bill with the Jets when he took – actually, no, he was with the Jets when he took over the Jets his second year there. I think he had Rich Kotite his first year, and they were awful. And then Parcells went in their second year. And he was chumming around. He always had a connection with Parcells. Excuse me. Pronouns, pal. Parcells had a connection with Keyshawn Johnson because he knew him because Parcells' childhood friend was John Robinson, who was Keyshawn Johnson's college head coach. So he knew who he was, and he was chumming around. He's like,
everyone knows everybody in football. It's so wild.
It's weird, but they were like legit, like next door neighbors when they were kids.
Yeah,
Parcells and John Robinson. So they're walking. He's walking around, and Keyshawn Johnson overheard Parcells talking to one of his assistant coaches. Who's it going to be? Who do you think it's going to be? And Keyshawn didn't know at the moment, but it's which one of these veteran players is the guy I'm going to cut because he's mouthing off or he's not getting in line. Like, yeah. Which one is it going to be?
Am I going to send a – who's going to be the victim who's I send a message to? Who's going to be the
victim
with?
I send a message to?
Yeah.
That's what – I'm not saying he should do this, but the I think that we're – as fans, we're like, oh, well, Josh McDaniels needs to change 180 and do a 180 and be this wholly different person. And I'm not saying he doesn't need to change a little bit, but let's not – think that we were this perfect team. We had a lot of penalties. We had a lot of mistakes on the field. We made a lot of mistakes off the field. One of the things that we wanted to do was bring in a lot more discipline to this program and change the culture of this organization. And from what Tom Brady said specifically is that Josh McDaniels knows and Dave Ziegler to that extent know what to do to bring a different culture to an organization. All right. Now, if that ruffles people's feathers the wrong way, so be it.
Brady didn't say he knows how to. I don't believe he said he knows how to bring a winning culture to another organization. He said he knows what it's like to be in a winning culture. Two very different things, right? No,
run it back. He did say that he knows what it takes to be in a winning culture,
which is different. Right, he knows what it takes to be in a winning culture. Yes, he knows how to succeed.
Now you're just talking semantics right now, RJ.
But that is a big difference.
It is not a big difference.
It's a giant difference between knowing how to thrive in an already built winning culture and starting
out of nowhere, RJ. You had to build it. You have to set a foundation.
Yeah, Belichick built it, and then he went into it.
Okay, so you have to build it. And if it's not that when you're there, you're the RJ, the expectations are the expectations, and that's it. Just because the guys are getting pissed off doesn't mean you can soften on the expectations, because then you're fucked.
It's not always the same skill, right? Like certain in Detroit, right? In Michigan, the car industry, right? Starting to flounder. It was once like the pride and joy of American business.
Where the water flows like mud.
It was beautiful, right? Like GM was the biggest company in the world and all this stuff, right? Mm-hmm. In the 1800s, late 1800s, that area was known for its entrepreneurship. That area has had just bred entrepreneurs. And it was a certain type of person. Now in that area, it's all guys that just run businesses. It's guys that know how to like corporate structure and go into a big company and maintain how it's thriving. The skill of being an entrepreneur and running a startup and getting a startup off the ground and being profitable is often a very different skill set than going into a profitable company and maintaining its profits and making sure it stays and thrives, right? We know that Josh McDaniels can thrive in a winning culture. Does he also have the skills to start from scratch? We know he can be successful in a corporation as it's running. Is he the entrepreneurial, for my example, to start it not from scratch because they won 10 games, but to start it anew? I don't know. Because the one time he tried, he failed in Denver. Again, long time ago.
Yeah.
I I'm assuming he's smarter and better. In the press conference, he sounded very self-aware. He freely admitted what he screwed up in Denver. And that's why what I do love is the two together, McDaniels and Ziegler, because Daniels can be the bad cop and Ziegler can be the good cop, right? Ziegler's the guy that's known to be the teacher,
the guidance counselor. He was a guidance counselor.
Guidance counselor. He's a guy that loves attention, right? He was extras on like Law and Order episodes, right? Like he loved to be around people and be seen. And like he's opposite of McDaniels in that way. So like the two together hopefully will work out, right? But again, thriving in a winning environment is different than starting a winning environment. Now, I'm not saying he can't do it. I'm just saying it's two different skills.
The thing is, when you're successful at something, people are willing to take your word for a lot of things when you're successful.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, you can be really bad at something, but if you are just perceived at being successful, right? We had this guy at the gym, and I'm not going to say his name, but he was like super fit. He was probably one of the worst trainers I have ever met in my entire life. Mm-hmm. Like probably one of the worst pad holders for a trainer I've ever seen. And Frankie and I would look at each other like, how the hell is this guy?
Can't hold a maxi pad, let alone a tie pad.
Dude, it was awful. And all he would teach was like sequences, right? Just like memorization stuff. Like, well, wasn't really teaching anything, you know? But he had a ton of clients. It's just because the look that he had.
Yeah.
So it's just the perception, right? So the reason I say that is he's an excellent offensive coordinator. You come in with that, right? And you're going to put up points. If you're a Josh McDaniels offense, you're going to put up points, okay? With a no-name offense, okay? A no-name offense this last year. Rory was trying to fucking twist my nuts last night, talking all this shit. Oh, it was because of Tom Brady. That's why his offenses were good. He had a rookie quarterback and a no-name offense, and he had the sixth most points scored last year. Mm-hmm. Like, fucking slow down. He's a genius offensive coordinator, okay? All right. So you know he has that going for him, all right? If he wins games, people are going to ease up and you're going to fucking listen, all right? He just has to be successful. That's all. You got a 10-win team. You don't have a shit team, okay? You have a good team. Just go out there. And does he need to soften his approach? Yeah, he needs to soften his approach. From what we heard in the press conference, it sounds like you said, he is more self-aware. What are some of the things that people are saying about Josh McDaniel? Oh, he was very abrasive. He was very cocky. He was a cheater. He failed. He failed as a head coach. I'm going to use me for example. The first time I was in leadership at a big company, I failed pretty bad myself. Mm-hmm. I did what most head coaches do, and I have a theory about Bill Belichick assistants. I changed who I was. I tried to be the big boss and change who I was and like started to be more stern and this and that.
Did you wear a tie to the office when you're never a tie guy?
I didn't wear a tie. No,
we okay. Didn't wear ties. That would have been like, all right, what's Soto doing? He's wearing ties now.
It just didn't work, and it just came across. It didn't come across well. Now the things that I was coaching and the thing that I was teaching and instructing were still sound, but it just didn't come across very well. You could be the smartest person in the room, but if no one else speaks your language, like, you know, it doesn't matter, right? I wasn't communicating very well. Okay. When you're coaching under Bill Belichick and you're learning so much about how to be a good coach, right? How to be a good instructor. You're seeing Bill Belichick do it. You're watching Bill Belichick do it, right?
Yeah.
You're thinking you do it like Bill Belichick, right? So instead of just taking the traits that Bill Belichick has, you're like taking his characteristics on, which is like not what you want to do. Someone's traits and someone's characteristics are very different things. Like if you take someone's characteristics, you're like mimicking them. And if you go and try to be a head coach mimicking somebody else, when you get into a decision-making moment and you're not consistent with the person you're supposed to be, or you're playing, or you're mimicking, and you're found out to be kind of a phony, like you're playing a part, you lose the locker room. quickly. And I think that's what happens a lot of times is a lot of these assistants of Bill Belichick are trying to coach like and be like Bill Belichick instead of taking those lessons from Bill Belichick and doing it as themselves. Now, I feel that what's it been since he went 2009, 2010 were the years he coached. It's been, what, 12 years since he's been a head coach. He's had a lot of time to reflect on the things that he did well. And look at it from this perspective, RJ. He now learned under Bill Belichick coming up the ranks as a coach and as a coordinator. He did the job as head coach, and then he was a coordinator watching Bill Belichick coach again, but watching him through a head coach's eyes. He was a head coach. He was a head coach the second time around and watching him. Oh, okay. I've been in his shoes before and I'm seeing what he's doing. Now I'm watching him through a head coach's eyes and I see what he's doing. Now I'm picking up the lesson. I'm not mimicking the person.
I'm with you. We don't know for sure that he's learned from his mistakes, but it sounds like he has, right? He sounds self-aware. It sounds
chances are he has.
I'm hoping he has, and I'm willing to be cautiously optimistic that he has. But it never still got to the root of my main issue, which is starting a culture as opposed to thriving in an already built culture, right? He didn't go back there and watch Bill Belichick restart the culture. Like, it was there. And we've seen all these coaches thrive when there's so much discipline already on the team. You have a great defense with Belichick. Like, all these things are already working. When Belichick says something, everyone listens because he got all the Super Bowl rings, right? Like, that's the part of the gumbo that's missing. Okay. Can he replace that piece of the gumbo? That is what my biggest question is. This beautiful, wonderful infrastructure of Kraft, Belichick, well-run organization, well-disciplined. Everyone knows what Belichick says because he's got all the rings. However you replace that is, to me, the big question. And we'll see.
Another leadership, little like insider leadership thing is C plus C equals C. Communication plus consistency equals culture. Mm-hmm. If I communicate to you what is expected of you, and I'm consistent in enforcing what is expected of you, that's the culture. How consistent I am and how well I communicate what's expected. That's the culture now. That's all he has to do. If he communicates clearly what's expected of the team, right? And he's consistent in enforcing what's communicated, that's the culture now. Now, if let's say, you know, homeboy freaking Hobbs does some bullshit and nothing happens to him, well, then now everyone knows that his word is bullshit. Or if you're one of the better players on the team, his word is bullshit. You can get away with more shit. It all depends now. So that's C plus C equals C. And that's, we'll see.
I just hope, like, I can just imagine like the first day, like spring training or something like that. Like Corey Littleton just like sneezes during a meeting and McDaniels is like, you're out of here. That's it. That's terrible. That is awful. That is just poor manners. You're just not paying attention. You're being disruptive. You're gone. See, no one is safe. No one is safe. I got rid of Corey Littleton.
You didn't dab into your arm. Take
blowing
your
red peppers in his face.
Wait, what day is it? Is it June 1st yet?
June 1st? Yeah.
June 1st. Get the fuck out of here.
If $15 million Corey Littleton can go, then anybody can go.
Wait, is it only $5 million? $5 million hit?
Okay.
Five. Get the fuck out of here, Corey Littleton.
I'm putting my foot down. I have standard for this winning culture.
Take Nick with you, you motherfuckers. Yeah, man, that's my take, dude. Look, it's very rare that somebody would be in that position for that long a time and not learn something. It's rare.
Well, we know who our coach is. And apparently University of Michigan knows who their coach is. Tweeted out February 2nd, Adam Schefter. Jim Harbaugh called the University of Michigan to inform the school that despite interviewing with the Vikings today, he will be returning to school for the 2022 season. Sources tell ESPN. Michigan was, in the words of one source, elated to get Harbaugh's decision. So, Jim Harbaugh flirted with the NFL. Mm-hmm. He, I believe, purposely leaked or had his people leak that he was interested in the Raiders job. Let that kind of brew. Mark Davis loved the attention, so he let that, he didn't deny it. He just let that grow. Mm-hmm. Actually interviewed with the Vikings. And at the end of the day, I think he got what this all was designed to do. And that was simply to get more money out of Michigan because they cut his pay in half last season because he went, you know, terrible losing season two seasons ago. And then, of course, this last season, make it the playoffs, beat Ohio State, win the Big Ten, yada, yada, yada. And now he's going to get his bag. And now he's getting his bag. Did you know you were hell bent? And you were positive. You were very, very positive that we were going to get Jim Harbaugh as our head coach.
Up until the day after I made that bet with you, mm-hmm. the day after I was like, he ain't coming.
Yeah. So do you think that did the Raiders blow it with Jim Harbaugh? Or do you think, or are you more like me where I thought like, I never thought it was actually going to be a tangible thing?
Well, it all depends. Like, did we blow it not going after him? Is that what you're asking?
Is there something that Mark Davis could have done differently that would have gotten Jim Harbaugh the head coaching job of the Las Vegas Raiders?
Asked him to interview? I don't think he even asked him to interview.
So you think that Mark Davis like wasn't interested at all?
I don't think he was. No, I don't think he was. I don't know that anyone is coming from with that much control and that much power. Is coming from college to the NFL and not having a bunch of power, right? And I don't think that Mark Davis is going to do that again. I think that he's doing exactly what I said he should do, is build a super strong front office with a bunch of strong-minded, smart football people, which is what he's doing now. He's hired two very smart, well-respected, young, innovative, good resume, football minds, and Ziegler fucking thick-dicked that shit. There was like a lot of humming and hawing in the question, like, yeah, you know, personnel decisions, if it comes down to it, you know, if there's like, you know, a roster guy and back and forth, and he's like, no, I'm gonna tell you something right now, Ross, we're gonna collaborate, but it comes down to me. Like, roster decisions are mine. Like he said that shit up front.
Well, and that's what we were hypothesizing, right? Is that that Jim Harbaugh wanted to be the GM and head coach, like similar to Gruden, right? Like, that's kind of what we were guessing.
But, like Urban Meyer. I say Urban
Belichick,
Meyer.
Pete Carroll's that way too, right?
Yeah. Pete Carroll wasn't. He had what's his face up there. But Urban Meyer is the closest to what we're gonna see from those high-priced, powerful college coaches coming to the NFL. Urban Meyer is probably the closest to what we're going to see. What happened in Jacksonville?
This is the part though. Like, and that's kind of what we both thought was like. Well, he wants to be GM as well, and Mark Davis doesn't want to do that. But he interviewed with the Vikings, and the Vikings have a GM. He was the guy that would have brought in Jim Harbaugh for the interview. Now they go back. They were. He was in the front office of San Francisco when Jim Harbaugh was the head coach. They have a relationship, but that GM in Minnesota wasn't going to hire somebody that was going to take his job.
Exactly. Right? That's why he didn't take it.
But he still interviewed knowing that that was the case. So again, I'm trying to give you some extension here. Like, I'm trying to give you a chance to like make a case, because I still think he did the interview with no intention of going. I think it was all just to look like he was.
I don't think so.
Okay. Then why would he go to a place where he wasn't going to be interviewed for a place where he wasn't going to be GM?
I don't know that was like the condition before he interviewed. Mm-hmm. I think that was all kind of the discovery phase, because this all happened very quickly. This whole thing happened very quickly where, hey, I'm still interested in the NFL. Like, what's up? Hey, I want to talk to you. Hey, all right. It's been a couple
days. Did
it
happen that quickly?
Yeah, it was very quick.
It was like January 7th when the first rumors came out that he was interested in
the NFL. In the Vikings. With the Vikings. That all happened very quickly. Mm-hmm. the Vikings just came up at what, the end of last week. It's been only a couple of days.
Sure. So, but that's when the interview happened. But if Harbaugh's out there and the Vikings thought it, like, I don't think the Vikings sat on it for a month and then just rushed it. Like, there had to have been some sort of preliminary. Again, the GM of the Vikings knows Harbaugh well. Like, there had to have been a text or a caller or something.
Maybe. We don't know for sure. But, I mean, for him to go down there and just, I mean, what a waste of fucking time. You know, like, why even do it?
Or millions and millions of dollars in a raise?
Dude, the millions and millions of dollars and the raise was his last season going to the, you know, BCS, you know, tournament.
It was a big part of it. But again, like, all negotiations, whatever, like, leverage is all you have, right? So if you're going and they're like, okay, we're going to, you know, we're going to extend, I mean, you, Jim Harbaugh.
Is
but
it possible?
Like, hey, you got to beat what these offers I'm getting from the NFL.
Yeah. Is it possible that his buddy from the 49ers back in the day threw him a bone? Hey, look, man, just buy me some dinner. I'll throw you a freaking biscuit after I get paid. Just say like, you're interviewing me for the Vikings job. I'm not going to take it or whatever. And then just kind of like do a little, you know, bullshit interview for him. It's possible. Is it also possible that he said, hey, man, we got some real serious interest after looking at a couple of guys. And we're like, you know what? Let's kick around Harbaugh. Let's see if he's really interested. If he really might want to come to Minnesota and coach. All right, let me kick it around. He comes up there like, hey, man, you thinking about coaching? Yeah, yeah. You know, what do you think about our roster? You know, let's look at it. Let's talk. What do you think about personnel decisions? You know, Harbaugh says, you know, I really want to be involved in the personnel decisions. I really want to have some say. I think I have a lot to offer. I know the college game really well. You know, I think I know the pro game really well. And the guy's like, wait a second. Now you're trying to step on my shit. I don't know if I want to do that. It's possible. Both of them are really possible.
Yeah. I just think like he had such deep roots in Michigan. Like, he had donated the millions of dollars that we heard, right? Of all his bonus money he went put back into the program. He was already starting to hire coaches. I was like, I think he's just leveraging. And lo and behold, he's staying at Michigan. So I just know how many people, how many Raider fans, how many listeners of the Ottoman Bags were like, I want Harbaugh. I want Harbaugh bad. And it just sucks that I feel like there's nothing the Raiders could have done, Mark Davis could have done, anyone could have done to get him. It was simply just looking for leverage when he eventually negotiated with Michigan.
Well, that's why I think Mark Davis didn't even bother.
Maybe Mark Davis saw through it.
Maybe he just called him and Harbaugh kind of let it out. Hey, man, you've been really good to me. This is what I'm looking to do. And Mark Davis was like, dude, I don't got time for this shit. I'm trying to win some rings over here. I'm not trying to fucking, you know, put more money into your fucking pocket. I'm trying to freaking win some rings.
Speaking of rings, also is probably like partly I'm always thinking like McDaniel and Ziegler, like they kissed the ring of Mark Davis. Like, did you hear like commitment to excellence? Just win, baby. The first thing he said was it was a fumble. Like, they just like, oh, the history of the team. They're just like gargling the balls of Raider Nation, right? Which is great, right? Like, you want to, you know, you're trying to win people over, and you know that Mark Davis just loves that shit. Loves people just like tonguing the butthole of the black hole. You know what I mean? And I don't think Harbaugh was going to do that, but Ziegler and McDaniels, they were ready. We will suck the silver and black cock all day long, buddy.
They know where their bread is buttered, baby.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. The thing is, it's like, people don't understand, dude. Like, they don't get it. I mean, like, my ex-wife, she couldn't care less about football. All right? She didn't get it. She didn't like it. Very similar to your wife. Doesn't give a shit about it. Hey, the sports thing. Yay. Where's the wine?
My wife does two things well with the Raiders. She dresses the kid up in like her Raiders cheerleader outfit and looks great.
She looks amazing.
And she knows to talk shit to Broncos, Chargers, and Chiefs fans.
Yes.
Those are the two things. And you know what? That's more than enough that I need from the wife.
Exactly, right?
I don't care if you can't name any single lineman. I don't care if you don't really watch the games. That's the two most important things that I want out of my wife as a Raider fan. Talk shit to the other teams and dress the baby up in a Raider gear.
So we went to my ex-wife and I, maybe about 10 years ago, we went to a Raiders Chargers game in San Diego, and we're walking to the crowd, and she's like, dude, she's like, I feel like I want to get into a fight. And I'm like, what the fuck? Like, you're a freaking surfer chick. What the fuck's wrong with you? Like, you're probably gonna fight with anybody. And she goes, yeah, I just feel like fuck these Chargers. And I'm like, fuck yeah, dude. It's like when you put that fucking silver and black on, and not, it's not just the fact that you're putting it on and you're wearing it, that other people see you wearing it, and then you see their reaction to you wearing it. It does something to you, man. It changes you a little bit.
You got a pitcher of beer, a couple shots in you, and a Raider jersey on. You might as well have a bulletproof vest on.
You don't even need that shit. You just fucking feel it. Like, when I tell people, like, people that, like, go to the gym for the first time, I start wrapping their hands. Like, you ever had your hands wrapped? No, I never had them. I'm like, you get, like, 40% tougher just getting your hands wrapped.
You feel like you can punch tougher through a brick wall.
Yeah, you just feel tougher. You get your hands wrapped.
Yeah.
Unless you're RJ and your wraps are, like, 15 years old and you've never washed them before.
Yeah, they got the stank of excellence on them. I'm not going to wash that out.
It's fucking stink so bad.
And once they start grappling and get my hand next to your face, it makes them pass out from the smell.
Terrible.
Strategy here. It's so a strategy bad here, Soto. It's
like,
come on.
It's like a cat pissed on your hands. It's so bad.
Oh, it would smell better if a cat pissed on my hands.
Those are so terrible.
Well, the really big decision for Ziegler and McDaniels coming up, maybe the biggest decision, is what to do with Derek Carr. You got a franchise quarterback, is the final year of his 5-year, $125 million deal. He's making almost $20 million next season. None of it guaranteed. And they got to figure out what to do with him. And you've got basically three realistic options. Mm-hmm. Extend him, trade him, let him play it out. That's basically it. I don't think there's any chance they let him play out that contract. I cannot imagine Derek Carr playing on a non-guaranteed contract, and they're going to let him just like play the season out and then lose any ability to trade him or do anything with him. Like, I do not see the Raiders doing that.
I don't see this front office doing that. That's just not smart.
I don't see anyone doing that. And it sounds like, if you listen to Jason McDaniels, he really likes Derek Carr. He was asked about
who's Jason McDaniels. Does he work in the parking lot?
Or Josh McDaniels.
There you go.
I'm gonna learn the head coach's name someday. At least did you hear when Mark Davis did the press conference? He called him Josh McDaniel. Didn't add the S. Did you pick that up?
He was saying double earlier. That's why he was knocking the scotches back.
It's like, does Josh have a twin? So you call him the Josh McDaniels? Like, he didn't even know the coach. He didn't even say
the Flying McDaniels.
He didn't even say his new head coach's name correctly. He called him Josh McDaniel, not Josh McDaniels. I laughed a little bit. Very Mark Davis. Anyway, Josh had this to say about his new franchise quarterback, but new to him.
Derek's won a lot of games in this league, and we've played against, we've competed against each other a number of times, and I have a lot of respect for him. He certainly did a good job this year leading their offense. And, you know, I spoke with him yesterday. We had a great conversation. Looking forward to actually getting to meet him and get to know him as a person, as a human being, and then getting to work, you know, in terms of developing our offense this year into what it's going to be. But there's no question that we have the capacity and capability of winning with Derek here. We all know that. And I look forward to the challenge of trying to grow not only Derek, but, you know, everybody on the roster to try to reach our potential. I never feel like a player, you know, is a finished product. And our job as coaches is to continue to identify places where we might be able to get better and work hard to try to improve. And I know he's completely on board with that. Again, we had a great conversation, and I look forward to our relationship.
That's about as much praise a head coach will give a quarterback that's going into a contract negotiation. Because if you hype him up, he's the best quarterback ever, we can win Super Bowls, he's going to be MVP next year, then his agent, when they start negotiating, is going to be like, yeah, Josh McDaniels said he's going to be MVP and win a Super Bowl. Like, we're a $40 million quarterback. So he's not going to, like, just heap praise on him. Mm-hmm. But going into a contract year, that's about as much praise as a head coach is going to give a quarterback in that situation. No way he's getting traded. No way he's playing out that contract. He's getting an extension this offseason.
It all depends, man, because I'll tell you something right now. The guy standing next to him, or the guy sitting next to to Josh McDaniels is the one going to make the call. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you something. He's not going to overpay for him. He's not going to overpay for Derek Carr. Derek Carr is going to get what he's worth and not a cent more. And, you know, those receipts are going to get cashed. All this, I've been the highest paid quarterback. I don't want to do that. I just want to win. All that stuff's going to get talked about.
I retire before I moved on to the Raiders.
All that stuff's going to get brought up. Listen, man, if you want to win, we can make this win. If Ziegler in the front office sit down and say, okay, here's what we can offer you. Here's a fair offer we have for you. Bang, bang, bang. This is the money we can use. We can save doing this deal for you. And here's what I want to do with this money. Here's what we can do. We can shore up these positions with this money. This is how we're going to win. And I don't think they're going to move from that. I really don't. Definitely, whatever they do end up offering Derek Carr, I don't think there's going to be a lot of wiggle room. I don't think there's going to be a lot of negotiation involved.
Well, you're completely wrong. There's going to be a ton of negotiation because you're a franchise quarterback. Now, he's put himself into a corner, like we mentioned, saying, I'm going to die a Raider, all this kind of stuff, right? But also, you think, like, the economics of football, right? Like, when he signed that deal, that $125 million five-year deal 4 seasons ago, he was the highest-paid quarterback in football. Like, 45, right? Because the salary cap goes up. Quarterbacks are only becoming more and more valuable, right? So, when he made that deal, he was the highest paid quarterback. 4 seasons later, he's the 15th highest paid quarterback going into next season, right? So I think what's going to happen this time is exactly what happened last time, is he got this monster deal and Raider fans are like, oh, we're overpaying. Oh my God, this is terrible. I can't believe this. They got bamboozled. But then as time went on, we realized, oh, that was a good deal. That was a pretty good contract, considering where the economics of the league and quarterbacks were going. I think he's going to get a monster deal similar to the one that he did 4 seasons ago. And it's going to look like too much, but it's eventually going to look like a quality contract. I don't know what the exact number is, but I guarantee what the number is going to be. There's going to be Raider fans saying we overpaid. Then as time goes on, as the economics become a little more obvious, people are going to say, okay, it worked out.
You think he'll crack the top 10? You think he'll get 35 a year?
So the top quarterbacks now.
Do this per year
number. This is the cap. This is cap hit next season, just for simple numbers, right? Cap hit next season. Matt Ryan, $48 million.
That was a backloaded to
next. Shit. That was a backloaded contract, right? Aaron Rodgers, 46. Kirk Cousins, $45 million. Deshaun Watson, $40 million. Who knows what's going to happen there? Ryan Tannehill, getting $38 million. Russell Wilson, $37 million. Patrick Mahomes, $35 million. Dak Prescott, $34 million. Jared Goff, $31 million. Carson Wentz, $28 million. So Derek Carr is easily better than Carson Wentz, Jared Goff, probably better than, I'd say better than Tannehill, and comparable-ish to Kirk Cousins, right? I think he gets into the top 7-6 range, 30-35 mil. I think like probably in between Prescott and Mahomes, but I think he's only going to stay there for like a season or two, and then he's back to being number 15 that he is right now.
That's a brutal cap hit, man.
It is, but that's the economics of quarterbacks and the salary cap, like how it just works. Like you pay these quarterbacks a ton of money early, and then it kind of lessens the blow as time goes on, unless the quarterback gets worse, like Carson Wentz and Jimmy Garoppolo, Jared Goff, and then you're just like, ah, crap, we're stuck with this bum.
Yeah, that's an absolutely brutal cap hit.
How long do you want the contract to be? 4 years?
3 years.
Three?
3 years. I would. Oh my God, dude. The issue with the problem that that Josh McDaniels and Dave Ziegler face is that they don't know what they have on their hands from their perspective from while they're driving the bus.
Yeah. What can Carr do with us
as for them?
What did he do? Yeah.
Exactly. I know what you can do in the league, but what can you do for us? Right.
That's why I think he's going to get like a 5-year deal, because they're going to be like, hey, he's going to flourish under us. He's going to go nuts under us. And we don't want to have to do this renegotiation 3 years from now when he asks for more money. Let's lock him down now. And then when he takes off, we've got him locked up and we don't have to worry about this again. I mean, that's what you're thinking if you're Ziegler and McDaniels, right? Like, you're thinking, we're going to take off with this guy. Let's lock him up and not let his value get higher because we've made him so much better.
Yeah. I mean, I was listening to Dan Orlovsky and who was he talking to? I forgot. I apologize. I forgot who he was talking to. And they were actually talking about Derek Carr. And looking at it from a quarterback and a quarterback coach and an offensive coordinator perspective, you know that there were certain things that have been worked on because with Derek Carr specifically, that's who we're talking about, mm-hmm. because a lot of these things were in his scouting report from college, locks onto his primary receiver, stuff like that. And those are things that really kind of that still creep up in 8 years into his career. And you ask yourself, as a Josh McDaniels coming in, like, how receptive is he going to be to me? How much of a headache is that going to be to me if my offense is built on him going through progressions? If one of the big things that I see in is he still locks onto a receiver, like, is that going to be an issue going forward? If I know that previous coaches, coordinators, quarterback coaches, stuff like that, have been trying to work with him on that. If that's something that's still an issue, is that a huge red flag? I go, well, how is that going to work? So there's things that maybe is not a big deal for somebody. Like, for me, like, if I dated a chick and I found out that she smoked cigarettes, I was completely done.
Hey, no, if she smokes, she pokes. Everyone knows that.
Nope. That was just for me. Nope. Don't smoke cigarettes.
Crack's okay. Meth's okay. Nope.
Hard drugs and cigarettes, I don't do. Sorry.
Pole. You want her to smoke pole?
She can smoke this pole, oh, for sure. Pole.
Okay.
That's but right. No, smoke cigarettes. That's me. But like the same thing with coaches. Coaches sometimes like, dude, this quarterback does this. This is just drives me fucking nuts.
Yeah.
And especially if they're a quarterback who've been in the league for a while and they still tend to do one thing. Sometimes these quarterbacks, coaches, or coordinators, now a head coach, have these quirks where they just don't like certain things about or certain players that do certain things.
But McDaniels, I mean, I think you're right for the vast majority of offensive coordinators, head coaches, and quarterback coaches, but McDaniels has been his call, like what people praise him the most on is how diverse he is. Like, he can take any style quarterback and make him successful. So if I'm McDaniels, I'm thinking like, look, I made Mac Jones successful. Like, I was part of Tom Brady's Hall of Fame career successful. I was able to do this with this guy and this with this guy, like very different quarterbacks. Like, I can take a Derek Carr who's like, I can make him successful. Clearly, like, I made worse successful. And so I think everything you're saying is right. Right. You're like, all the concerns you have are valid. But I think if I'm McDaniels and I'm talking to Ziegler and we're kind of coming up what to do with Derek Carr's extension, we're thinking like, we're going to make this guy awesome. Let's lock him up now before he goes back to the negotiation table with, you know, a passing title or an MVP or I don't know, something, whatever they think they're going to be able to get out of him.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see. I think I know Derek Carr was sad to lose Bisaccia. Yeah. He tweeted it very clearly. Obviously he loved the guy and we know how loyal he is and loved Gruden, loved Bisaccia. I think he's going to look back at this moment and say, it was a pretty nice day for old DC's bank account and trophy case.
Dude,
if I'm
Waller, if I'm Moreau, if I'm Josh Jacobs, if I'm Derek Carr, and if I'm Hunter Renfro, if I'm those five guys, if I'm Alec Ingold, if I'm those six guys, I'm like, Holy shit.
Kenyon Drake.
Yeah, Kenyon Drake. If I'm those guys.
He's great with running backs. Love throwing running backs.
Bro, he's great. He's going to put us in a position to succeed. Do you guys, okay, when the Patriots had that two tight end offense, they were almost unstoppable. Almost unstoppable.
Gronk and Hernandez.
When they had Gronk and Hernandez.
Yeah.
And they operated almost exclusively out of that two tight end set. Now, did they always do like the two tight ends on the line? No, they winged it out. They winged them out. They put them out wide, stuff like that. They had the different sets, but they bunched them out. They did different formations. But this guy's creative, man. He's going to find ways to put the different matchups out there. And if Derek Carr can pick this up quickly, hasn't been his MO. It hasn't been his deal where he picks up offenses quickly.
Mm-hmm.
If McDaniels and the coaching staff can identify that, and I mean, look, he has to be better than Mac Jones is picking up an offense.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And Mac Jones picked up that offense. So I'm sure they can make it work with Derek Carr.
Yeah. Ready to do some what a winbacks?
Yeah, baby. Let's do it.
Mark Yocum. Rumors going around, players aren't thrilled with the hire. We're getting a little bit of that vibe. A little bit of that vibe's going on. I think this is, like, change always is tough at first, right? I was so pissed when Twitter went from 140 characters to 280. I was like, oh, man, I got to read a freaking novel when I'm scrolling through Twitter. Like, that's what made Twitter so nice. Now I can imagine having less than 280. I had 279 characters. I'm like, God damn it. I wish, you know, this is not enough. Change almost always hurts. Almost always feels bad, especially when you're losing, especially emotionally when you're attached to someone like Passaccia, who's so universally loved. Change always hurts at first. And I don't think the Raiders players are wrong to feel like kind of bummed.
Mm-hmm.
But that's something they're going to get over.
Yeah.
The feeling of, like, are they going to fall in love with McDaniels and follow through and do everything he says and say he's the man? That's to be seen. But just the almost betrayal's too strong of a word, but kind of that feeling of like, oh, they got rid of Passaccia. Like, he was our guy. That will go away. That will fade away.
Yeah. I don't know that they weren't thrilled because of who it was. I think that they weren't thrilled because of who it wasn't. Mm-hmm. Right, because it wasn't Passaccia, that's why they were bummed more so than them being bummed, because it was Josh McDaniels.
Yeah,
and I think what they're doing is they're looking at what they're not going to have, which is they're not going to have Passaccia as coach, and they don't know what they are going to have, because they don't know they had never had Josh McDaniels as a coach before. Once they get him, and you know, they see who he is as a person and as a coach, and you know, he's a football coach. He looks like he's from Ohio. He's got that big old fucking neck and shit.
Yeah.
You know? Imagine him in like 5 years. He's going to be like an Andy Reid neck, just all fucking neck. I see that forehead, bro. That's why he wears that fucking visor, dude.
Visor,
you see
right?
That thing? Jesus.
Andrew Knudsen.
Knudsen.
Raiders and Josh McDaniels were meant for each other. Lie, cheat, steal, us against the world. Al Davis would be proud. That said, a rotten to the core Raiders team is great for the NFL. I love the hire and the narrative. I'm down with cheating. I'm not down with getting caught. That's the difference. He got caught. He got busted. Hand in the cookie jar. And it cost him his job, along with also losing when he was in Denver. I'm down with the cheating, but the skill in cheating isn't the cheating. It's the not getting caught part. Mm-hmm. So if he's going to cheat again, you know Roger Goodell and the NFL are going to come down with the heaviest axe that Paul Bunyan ever made.
Like, it's definitely an art.
If we get butt, it's going to be like, it's just going to be bad if we get caught. Like the shit that the NFL will put us through if we get caught cheating. Mm-hmm. They're going
balls
to be an example out of
through
us.
The ringer. Well, mm-hmm. I mean, look, the problem wasn't McDaniels was cheating. Okay, the problem was the guy who was doing the cheating. He wasn't schooled very well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he said way too much. and he was, and McDaniels kind of left him to hang out to dry. Mm-hmm. And then McDaniels kind of like, he said too much, and then the dude said too much, and like everyone said too much.
Again, that's part of being good at cheating.
That's what I'm saying.
You get busted, like, everyone, no one narks. Hey,
we've all learned. We've all learned.
Lawyer,
right?
Up.
It's been Don't 10 years. It's been 10 years.
Yep. Gun nerd, multi-million dollar coach, and homie still can't give his tie a full Windsor. I laughed at that a little bit. Because I was right? a kid, so like when I went to church every Sunday as a kid, I went half Windsor. Because you're a kid, you don't care what it looks like. You just want to tie this fast.
Flop it, bam.
Boom, 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 you're done, right? And so that's the only way I knew how to tie my tie my entire life until I got married. And it was you that pointed it out. I just tied a regular half Windsor, like normal. And you're like, dude, you got to go full. And so to this, like when I have to wear a tie, you know, 4 or 5 times a year,
you're welcome.
I still got to YouTube it a little bit. I still got to be like, wait. I just been half Windsor. So I feel, gun nerd, you're right, but I feel for Josh McDaniels. Like, I went half Windsor my whole life. I still got to bust out YouTube. I don't want to do full.
He's from Ohio, bro. Let him fucking be. Jesus. No, but
God, the full, such a low opinion of Ohio. They're fat. They don't know how to do ties.
Bro, Ohio is its own country. It's its own world out there. I don't know if you've ever been there. It's its own fucking world. They are literally 10 years behind. It's a third world country out there.
They're 10 years ahead of us when it came to cranking out quarterbacks, though. Joe Burrow.
God damn, fucking Joe Burrow, so good.
All right, well, that's it for us. A lot more stuff coming your way. A lot of good action coming up. Mm-hmm. We'll have some YouTube stuff coming up. A big interview coming up this week that we want to make sure you catch as well. But until then, knock on wood if you're with me. Thank you so much for listening to the Autumn Windbags. We really appreciate it. Make sure you check out our YouTube channel, the Autumn Windbags Las Vegas Raiders. A lot of extra bonus content on there that we think you're going to love. Until next time, later.